Chapter 1 Pre-Show. The clouds hung low over Bucksport, a bruised purple sky pressing down on the town like a warning. Ben flicked on the wipers, the blades smearing the drizzle across the windshield in slow, tired arcs. "You sure this is the place?" he asked, peering through the gloom at the hulking silhouette of the old town hall. It looked abandoned, except for a flicker of movement inside. A single candle burning behind the glass doors. Annie checked the flyer again, frowning. "Yeah, tonight only, one-night event. A new experience inspired by the legend of Buck's tomb. That's all it says." "No other description?" Ben asked. "Just an immersive journey into Bucksport's most famous haunting. No cast list, no director's name, no nothing." Ben exhaled slowly, watching his breath fog the glass. He hated this sort of thing, anything vague, anything theatrical enough to call itself an experience. He liked his scares in movies, boxed up neatly behind a screen, not lurking in drafty old buildings on nights when the sky felt ready to cave in. "We could just go get dinner instead," he offered weakly. "They still got that new place open down by the harbor." Annie smiled at him, that familiar mix of amusement and challenge in her eyes. "We bought the tickets. Besides, it'll be fun. Spooky small-town lore. How bad could it be?" Ben grunted, but didn't argue. Something about the air felt heavier here, the way it does before a thunderstorm. Or something worse. He opened the car door and stepped out into the mist, pulling his jacket tighter around him. Across the parking lot, the entrance to the town hall yawned wider, the candle inside guttering into a sudden gust. Above them, hidden behind thick clouds, the full moon strained to break free. The doors creaked when Ben pushed them open, the sound scraping down the length of the deserted hallway beyond. The air inside was cooler, damper, and it smelled of old wood, mildew, and something else, something metallic, like rust or blood. Annie hesitated just a second before following him in. "Maybe they're trying to set the mood," she whispered, her voice thin against the silence. The faint candle they'd seen from the outside sat atop a battered folding table just inside the entryway. A hand-lettered sign leaned against it, written in black marker on wrinkled paper. "Please proceed to the auditorium. The performance will begin shortly." No staff, no ushers, no one selling tickets. Ben frowned. "This feels off," he murmured. His voice sounded swallowed by the hallway. Annie slipped her arm through his. "Come on. Worst case, it's a scam. Some drama kids with too much time on their hands." She pulled him gently forward. Their footsteps echoed on the worn floorboards, each step sounding too loud, like they were waking something that had been sleeping a long, long time. They passed closed office doors and dusty bulletin boards, the place half lit by occasional candles stuck into wall sconces. Ever so often, Ben thought he caught a flicker of movement at the edge of his vision, a shadow darting around a corner, a shape standing at the far end of the hall. But when he looked directly, nothing was there. The doors to the auditorium stood ajar at the end of the corridor. Beyond them, a deep red glow pulsed faintly, like a heartbeat. Annie squeezed his hand. "Ready?" she asked. Ben nodded, and they stepped through the doors. The auditorium was bigger than Ben thought it would be. "How is it so big in here?" Ben thought. The walls were draped in thick, deep red curtains. Ben thought it looked like blood pouring from the ceiling and down the walls. The stage sat in the back of the room. The front of the stage was lined with more candles. The stage lights were down, and it was completely black behind the candlelight. Ben stared for a moment into the blackness and felt a chill. Ben could also make out a faint, familiar smell. "Sulfur. Smell that?" Ben asked Annie. "Yeah, I smell it. A little weird. It's an old building, old pipes," Annie said with a shrug. Annie could shrug off anything. Ben remembered the first time he met Annie, like it was stitched into his bones. It was a rainy afternoon at the downtown bookstore, the kind of day that made the whole world smell like wet asphalt, damp leaves, and old paper. Gray light pooled against the windows, and every time the door opened, a gust of cold air rolled in. Ben had ducked inside just to get dry, shaking out his jacket by the door, stomping rainwater from his boots. He hadn't planned to stay long, maybe just enough time for the worst of the storm to pass. Then he caught a glimpse of her. Annie was reaching up high in the horror section, her hair falling over her face as she tried to wrestle a thick hardcover off the top shelf. She tugged once, twice, then the book slipped from her fingers, tumbling toward the floor. Before he could even think, Ben lunged forward and caught it against his chest. She looked up at him, wide-eyed and laughing. "Nice save," she said, voice warm and a little breathless. Ben shrugged, suddenly very aware of how soaked he must look. He was dripping onto the carpet, jacket clinging to him awkwardly. "Lucky timing," he managed, handing the book back to her. Annie brushed rain from her sleeves and grinned. "Or fate," she teased, a sparkle in her eye. Ben smiled, feeling something loosen in his chest, like maybe the whole day wasn't a waste after all. He glanced at the book she'd almost dropped, The Stand by Stephen King. "Good taste," he said, tapping the cover. "That's one of my favorites." Annie's face lit up. "Seriously? Most people see the size of this thing and back away in terror." "I read it during a snowstorm one winter," Ben said. "Got completely lost in it. Pretty sure I forgot how the real world works for a few days." She laughed. "Oh, that's the best feeling. Though, if I'm being honest, I think I watched the old miniseries before I ever read the book." Ben chuckled. "Same. It scared the hell out of me when I was a kid." He shifted the box of books he was still holding and nodded toward the fiction aisle. "You a big Stephen King fan or just this one?" "Big fan," Annie said, tucking the book under her arm. "Books, movies, even the bad ones. It's like comfort food for me." Ben nodded, feeling that strange, easy sense of recognition again. It was like he already knew her, or maybe like he was supposed to. "Well," he said, tipping his head toward the row of books behind her, "if you're on the hunt for more, I could recommend a few. You know, if you don't mind taking book advice from a half-drowned stranger." Annie laughed again, and this time it was softer, closer. "I think I'd like that," she said. They met for coffee later in the day, and that was it. Together ever after. Ben scanned the auditorium and saw it was a full crowd. A mix of young and old theater patrons, and a low murmur of conversations about how so-and-so is doing in school and who's getting married this summer. The air was heavy, and Ben was unsure if the ventilation in this space was up to code. The smell of sulfur was hanging around, and Ben thought it might be getting stronger. It added to the ominous feeling he had in the pit of his stomach. He could usually trust his gut, but really nothing was that strange. Just a little off somehow. And the stuffy auditorium and smell of hellfire wasn't helping. "Let's find some seats," Annie said, looking out into the audience. Ben saw two seats next to each other near the middle and pointed. "Over there," he said as he took Annie's hand. They excused themselves past the crowded aisle and made their way to their seats. They had a clear view of the stage, and Ben once again found himself staring at the dark space in the back of the stage. He felt dizzy and shook his head and sighed. "Everything okay?" Annie asked in her concerned tone. Yeah, I just need a few deep breaths. The air in here is getting to me." "No biggie," Ben replied, putting on a smile. "What time is it?" Annie looked at her phone. She held it up to show a black screen. "My phone died. I thought it was almost fully charged in the car. Maybe it's going to shit. I swear I just charged it." Ben grabbed his phone out of his pocket. He activated the open screen and nothing. "Mine's dead too," he said, showing her the screen. Ben looked around the room and didn't see anyone else looking at their phones. Just quiet conversations and a random burst of laughter coming from a woman somewhere behind them. "Weird," Annie said with another classic shrug. "I have a charger in the car. We can charge him on the way home." We won't need him anyway. We're about to be completely immersed into the buck sport of the 1700s. There weren't phones back then anyway, she said in a mocking tone. She put her phone back in her pocket and leaned her head on his shoulder. Ben was glad to have her by his side and thought back again on the day they met. His replaying of memories was interrupted by a light but steady buzzing sound, like a single bee somewhere in the auditorium. Ben looked around for the bee and saw the others near him looking around for the source of the same sound. The buzzing sound quickly multiplied when the sound of hundreds or thousands of bees were buzzing around overhead. Ben couldn't see any bees anywhere, but he could feel the panic in the room. Then suddenly and abruptly, it stopped. The room was completely silent. The crowd had only a moment to breathe when the stage lights came on, lit up the stage, and a large red curtain. The show was beginning.